Hi, everybody. Welcome back to With My Hands Homestead. Are you proud of me for getting back quicker than I usually do? I had just been kind of reminiscing on a lot of homesteading stuff. I looked back at my old Instagram posts from this time last year and the year before and the year before, and it really inspired me to just go ahead and do at least a quick little check-in. I'm sure this won't be a very long episode, but I know the pattern has been during the summer, even though we have the most going on that you all would probably be interested in, we upload the least because we are so busy with doing those things. So, if nothing else, I just wanted to do a quick little update. So let's pick up right where we left off last time I uploaded. If you remember the last podcast, I think I named it like Trying to Be Optimistic. And essentially, Nate and I were sharing how it has been a very difficult year. Last year we decided to upscale the farm, but that probably not the best idea for a lot of reasons. So just go back and listen to that episode if you have no idea what I'm talking about. But honestly, after I'd uploaded it and we just kind of talked about everything, we were actually surprised with how far we've come in this year. And I think we're both feeling a lot better. I knock on wood. I really want to literally like knock on wood here. I think we're over the worst, or at least we're like in the midst of it. So we're hopeful it'll only go up from here. And we feel that way, especially related to the chickens, because that had been one thing that I really wish we had not scaled up on, and that's a major thing that we did. We have been getting a batch of 80 Cornish crosses every month, every 4 weeks since March. But when we looked at all the numbers, we are almost done. We only have one more batch that'll be coming, I think, in 2 weeks, and then we are done. We are done with chicks for the year. I'm so excited. So then it'll just be finishing off with the processing of the batches that we have. I think, oh, we should be doing another batch within around the time that the new ones come in. So in around 2 or 3 weeks, we'll have those. And then I think two more. I can't remember. I'll have to look out there, but it'll be downhill from there. That's what I'm looking at. And we are at the peak of summer, so hopefully it'll be a lot less hot, maybe not next month, but that's also part of the hard part of just making sure the guys out there doing it, you know, Nate and his, usually we have like one or two helpers that are out there, making sure that they are okay in the heat of the summer, making sure, of course, everything is nice and sanitary and cooled. But it's not fun. It's definitely not the fun part about raising your own meat. But we feel really excited that we're almost done for the year. And I'm sure we will have a farm meeting. I'm hoping to record it, but we're going to have a farm meeting in probably late fall to decide what we want to do for next year. And I bet it will be a scale back on chickens. But other than that, like the chicken processing itself, and maybe I mentioned this in the last podcast, so hopefully that's not repeating, but that has gone really well this year, the actual processing of them. Nate has gotten into such a good groove with it. We have a plan and an assembly line, and we have some really nice, dependable, for the most part, people that will help us when we need it. And we've definitely learned we need the help. It is n not fun, just the two of us, because I know the brunt of it definitely falls on Nate. But we have a good groove. They've been able to do, especially the last two batches, really quickly. I mean, it used to take like a whole weekend between the actual butchering and then the cleaning of everything and the packaging of everything, and now we can get it all done in one day. I think the last time Nate even met a friend who loves doing this kind of stuff. He's super into farming, and I think he used to do it and just kind of wants to get back into it. And the two of them, I mean, they were done like by before 1 o'clock with the actual pro like the actual killing of the birds, sorry, the killing and the gutting and everything that comes with that. they were done with that and they were ready to start kind of being packaged by like 1:30 in the afternoon, which was insane. I think back to our first batches where, you know, he would start sunlight and then he'd be done like after dark because it was just us. I mean, I'm so thankful that we finally figured out the best way to work with that assembly line for our property, for our birds, for us. So that is really good. We were able to talk about that and feel really good about that. But at the same time, we are ready for this last batch to come. Also, in addition to those wonderful Cornish crosses, about 2 weeks ago, in addition to our 80 Cornish crosses chicks that we got 80 turkeys. Oh, yeah. I had been dreading the turkeys. I have always thought that we got way too many, and we realized that, especially when they came. We were like, we really don't need 80. That was a little ambitious. But we were able to actually sell half of them, which is incredible. Did we get 80 chickens? Gosh, I can't remember now. I think we did. But long story short, we ended up finding a lot of people who also were interested in turkeys, and we sold about half of them. So we have 40 now. I believe 40, or is it 50? Oh my goodness. I don't even know. But around there. And that feels a lot more manageable. It's still a lot, but it feels a lot better than 80. But the turkeys were so cute. I was so surprised by that. I mean, they were, we got white broad-breasted, and then we just got just a couple of bronze broad-breasted. That's a tongue twister. And they are so much more chill than our chicken chicks. Like, they don't freak out when you pick them up, and like they'll cuddle with you and like fall asleep in your hands, and it's so sweet and they're so cute. So that will be hard when it comes to Thanksgiving time, but I like them a lot more than I thought I would. We've had really great luck with them. We've always heard that turkeys are a lot harder than chickens as chicks. Like, I think we've always heard they're a lot more finicky. You have to be a lot more diligent. They're not as forgiving as chicken chicks are. But I think out of the whole batch of 80, I think we've only had two. Well, first of all, all 80 survived the trip, which was amazing. So we ordered 80 and we got 80. And then I think we've only lost one or two. But other than that, they are all super healthy, all happy, all doing what they need to do, super sweet. I find them less dirty than the chicken chicks. I don't know why. It's probably the same. I think I was just expecting it to be worse because they are bigger. When we got them, they must have only been like 2 or 3 days old, of course, when they came in the mail. And we also had our meat chicks that had come about a month before. And in a comparison, the turkey chicks were about the same size as our 4-week-old Cornish crosses, just for kind of a comparison. So they're still little and they were fluffy, but that's about the size of what they were when we got them, about the size of a 4-week-old chick. So I thought that they'd be super extra disgusting and nasty because, in my opinion, chicken chicks that are between like 4 and 8 weeks old are the absolute worst, and I hate them because they're just so gross. Oh, they're nasty, and they look nasty because their feathers are coming in. So I think that's just the vision that I had in my head. But the turkeys, I've really enjoyed them. I can't believe I'm saying that. I really like them. I'm feeling more optimistic about everything, especially with the turkeys, but I'll check back in next month and we'll see if I still feel that way. It just feels a lot more manageable than I had expected, and I'm very happy about that. I think the other big thing that happened since the last podcast was we got our ram. We get a breeding ram each year, a new one to kind of keep the genetics fresh in our flock. And last year we had tried to only keep a ram on the property for a set amount of weeks so that we could kind of control more of when the lambs were born. That ended up not working as well as we thought. I can't remember now what had happened if we kept our last ram on our property longer than we expected, but for some or the other factor that could have contributed was because our lambing schedule was so all over the place. Maybe some of the girls just weren't like back in heat or something. Like maybe they had just lambed when we had gotten the ram, so their ovulation stuff was delayed or something. There was something kind of different about that because we still ended up with a much wider span of lambing this past year than we had hoped for. But anyway, we got our new ram. Nate made the trip all the way. I believe we get them from a breeder that he knows up in like Western Virginia. I think that's where he is, either Western Virginia or Northern Virginia, somewhere over there, kind of a trek. But we got him. He is beautiful. He is huge. He is a different color than we've ever had on the farm. So we have Katahdin hair sheep. We do also have like a couple Dorpers, but we are phasing out the Dorpers. They're fine, but the line that we have isn't the best, and we haven't tasted any kind of difference in the meat, so why keep the Dorpers? So we are phasing them out. I think we're going to sell our main breeding Dorper ewe, and then I think I can't remember what gender her babies are, but well, long story short, we're getting rid of the Dorpers, and we're keeping all the Katahdins. So he's a Katahdin. His coat is like a beautiful, like rust red, dark red ginger color. Super beautiful, super big, super friendly, which is very nice. I think the girls have kind of gotten him to be a little bit more skittish, you know, because they all run away from us. And so he's like, wait a second, why are y'all running? So he's a little more skittish than he first had been, but he's one of the friendliest sheep we've ever had. So we like him a lot. We like him a lot. His name is Haas, and he is a big boy, and I've seen him out there doing his job. So I'm excited to see what this upcoming lambing season holds. We are really hopeful it'll be better than last year. Last year, that was the only thing. Our lambing season was not as good as it normally is. We had a little bit more loss. We had, I think, one or two that didn't even fall pregnant, which was really surprising. But we're hopeful that now that we've had that buffer year to get on track with our new schedule, even though the lambing was still a little bit more spread out than we had hoped last year, it was still more maintained than it usually is. So I think that's a step in the right direction. All the girls it's been months and months and months since the last one gave birth. I think it was around Easter or a little bit after, if I remember correctly. So none of them are still nursing. They should all be good. So we will see. I know he is trying. He is a hard worker, if you catch my drift. Let's see. The cow is doing fine. We still only have one cow. His name is Goofball because he is, in fact, a goofball. He likes to stand in his water trough, especially when it's really hot. He just stands in it like a little pool, which is really funny. He's doing good. He's getting big. He's nice and filled out. His time with us will end around September, I believe. Usually we like to do a cow around Nate's birthday, which is in September, end of September. So that will be on the docket in the next couple months. Pigs are doing very good. After the pig escape fiasco, other than that, they've been great since then. Nate has butchered one of them. So now we have four. And I'm saying that slowly because we have four because we had been planning on butchering one, I think, last week, but we didn't end up being able to do that. We have four. So we only have one of those is a feeder, and the three other ones are our breeders. So we have one that we're going to butcher within the next couple weeks, and that will leave us with our two girls and our one boy. The two girls who are our breeders should hopefully be pregnant. I'm not super well versed in early pig pregnancy, and we definitely have not done an ultrasound or any kind of testing on them, but also we've had that boar in with them ever since forever, since they were born. Well, not since they were born. I take that back, because they are from different litters, or they're not related, I guess is what I'm trying to say. I didn't want to imply that they were related, because they're not. But ever since they came on our farm, they have been together. The boy reached sexual maturity around February. I think that's when they, for however old they are, that's when ours were supposed to reach maturity. So between then and now, hopefully they're pregnant. There's no reason to think they're not, but we will find out when the time comes. I'm not sure when the first due date would be. And what I mean is, if they had fallen pregnant in February, which I believe is the earliest they could have, they probably didn't because of how early that was. And we definitely understand that. But we wanted to also know around when the earliest possible they could be having babies are, and then just kind of knowing from then on to make sure we watch them and look for signs. And I'm sure if they are pregnant, we will definitely know when they start to get huge and gigantic and don't want to walk anymore. So that will be coming hopefully this fall. That's what the plan is. I think that's around the time that if they fell pregnant fairly quickly after maturity, then that's when we would expect piglets. But we will keep you all updated on that. And then finally, a little garden update. The garden is absolute garbage. It's not doing well. But because it is so terrible and kind of beyond repair, I totally caved and got some plant starts from a local nursery. That in itself was a little journey, because it is so late in the season that most places do not have vegetables plants anymore. Like if you go to Lowe's or, you know, any of the big, like Walmart, they either don't have them or it's a terrible deal. Like Lowe's at our locations does still have vegetable starts, but it's like $7 for like one pepper plant, or just crazy ass, like, they don't need to be that expensive. There's no reason for them to be that expensive. So that's where I'd started. And I'm like, absolutely not. I would rather go without than to buy all these jacked up plants. But luckily, I asked around one of our local community Facebook groups, and there is a super awesome little nursery in Elizabeth City that I got some plants from, and they were super affordable, awesome deals. It was like, essentially like $150 a plant. Like, it's great. They don't have a huge selection, but I'm okay with that. And they didn't really have anything other than tomatoes and peppers and herbs. Well, they have a lot, like they have flowers and all the landscaping stuff. But as far as vegetables, like they didn't have any squash, they didn't have any cucumbers, which is fine. Because I really wanted to focus on the tomatoes and peppers anyway. So I got some of those. I think right now I got 3 Cherokee purples because they came in a pack of 3. I got 1 chocolate cherry, 1 Juliet, and I think that's all the tomatoes that I have right now. And then I rooted one of my San Marzanos. So right now I made a separate garden. It is actually taken over from Nate's garden. A couple years ago, he made a huge, giant, obnoxiously big raised bed for corn and potatoes. But because we've been so busy, it has been vacant this year. So I totally took advantage of that. And I planted those in there. And then I got, I think, 6 green and red pepper plants, yellow pepper plants, and some jalapenos. So right now, that is my little mini garden. I wanted to keep it small so I can focus on it and have it be manageable. I also started some zucchini and a couple cucumber plants. So I'm going to really try hard to maintain it. That is my goal. I'm starting over. I'm so thankful that I got to start over. I may have to go back to the store because I actually want a couple more tomatoes. I said I'd keep it small. I wanted to keep it small and I will, but I just can't help it. I need a red tomato. So far so good. They're all doing really great. I've gotten some cherry tomatoes, which is awesome from my garden. But also my brother-in-law is like literally the best gardener ever to walk the planet. And his garden is just like, I have no words. It's phenomenal. So he's also been giving us graciously some vegetables and even some like more throw out produce for the pigs and the chickens, which they love. I mean, he has some zucchini and squash that are like literally as long as my arm, and the chickens just absolutely go nuts for it. So he has been really helpful in supplementing our fresh summer vegetables. We're so thankful for that. But hopefully in the next couple weeks, I will now have my own tomatoes. And kind of on that note, which I will definitely have to put this on my list for next year. I don't know what my garden will look like next year. I'm still trying to decide, but no matter what, I tried a pink Brandywine tomato from my brother-in-law's garden. That was the best tomato I have ever tasted in my entire life. It was so delicious. I can't get enough. I love them. So I will definitely be getting some pink Brandywine seeds. If that's the only tomato I ever eat for the rest of my life, I'm happy with that. I don't know what it was. Maybe it's just his green thumb, but I'm going to definitely fill my garden with that next year. So if you haven't tried them, try them. I had never tried them. I know I've heard Brandywine are really hard to grow. So I've been hesitant, but I think it will be, even if I have to baby them, I'm going to do whatever I have to grow those in my garden. Well, I knew it wouldn't be a very long episode, but I think those are all the updates that I just wanted to get out there in the universe. I wanted to rope Nate into talking at least for a little bit again, but I don't want to wait on him. So hopefully he will be a partner on the next episode. That will be my goal. And I really hope it won't be terribly long from now. But go follow us on Instagram at With My Hands Homestead, pretty much on every platform. I update usually regularly. I'm going to be trying to update a little bit more now that I have a little more motivation and optimism. So go follow us on there if you want to see the farm and see what we're doing and get more updates. But if not, I will talk to you next time. Bye. Hello, farm friends. We hope you are doing well in this end of summer, beginning of fall time frame. And by we, I mean I. It is going to be another solo episode here on With My Hands Homestead. But that's okay. I still wanted to check in. Even though Nate can't be here today, he is still night shift working all the time. It is Saturday and he is still working. So we are thankful for him and all the money he brings home. But that means for a few extra solo episodes over here, I'm tired of waiting for him. So we'll just get into it. We will just get in with the updates. Lots to update about, especially now that we are coming to a conclusion of summer. I feel like we're going to have a really good year update coming up. And by good, I mean full of things to talk about. It hasn't been the best year. But I mean, all in all, it's been hard. It's been really, really hard. Really, we're really burnt out at this point. But we're getting through it. We are following through with all our commitments. And that's probably a blessing in disguise. It's helpful in a way to have so many commitments. You know, we already have all these chickens. We already, you know, have people who have made orders for different meats. So we have to follow through with all of that. So we are just going to truck along and take it day by day, just like we have all summer long. But it feels good to be at the end. Everything feels a little bit more manageable for the most part. As I say that, last night, the sheep got out. We had a whole thing. I'm sure I'll talk about that in a little bit. But and we ended up having to spend like an hour in the dark trying to wrangle all the animals and the cow. And I was just like, oh my gosh, I'm ready to go live in a neighborhood instead of out on a farm. But I just say that when it's hard. I really don't mean that. But anyway, Let's see where to start. Let's start with a turkey update. We can just go that route. Last time that I made an update, I think we had just gotten the turkeys and they were super cute. They are still super cute. Overall, we still really like them. I still like them more than the chickens. We will see if that continues. We've had really, really good luck with them. We've heard from a lot of people on the internet that turkeys as babies are a lot harder to raise than normal chicks, like even the meat bird chicks. They're just a little bit more finicky. You have to keep them on the heat lamp for longer. You have to really be on top of their grit. You have to make sure that you're feeding them the high protein feed. And we did all that. And we, unless I'm remembering incorrectly, we didn't have any dye like at all. Recently we've had a couple predator issues, but other like that doesn't count in my book. Predator issues, there, that's not our fault. So we've had great luck. We're really happily surprised. And we did end up selling some though as little newborn chicks. We started out with 80. We ordered that last year when we thought we were a little too optimistic. So we did end up selling about half of them, I believe. And man, they flew off the shelves. No pun intended. People really wanted turkeys to raise, especially because we had timed it out so that they would be ready a couple weeks before Thanksgiving. We had when I put the post on a couple of the local Facebook groups, just mentioning that we were looking to sell some of them, in whatever fancy Facebook way, because I know you can't technically sell animals on Facebook, but everyone does anyway, especially in the homestead groups. But yeah, we had way more people. I mean, my phone was blowing up within an hour. I mean, it did take a couple days because a lot of people weren't serious inquiries. You would not believe how many people messaged me and they're like, "Oh, I really want a pet turkey. I have to talk to my husband about it though." Blah, 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 blah. I'm like, okay, immediately no. Immediately no. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. But none of those people ended up, I didn't actually tell them no for the record, but that was what was going in my mind. And of course, none of those people ever followed through, which is, it is what it is. But other than those people, it was very easy to sell all of them. We could have sold all 80 if we wanted to. We had a lot of interest. And even anecdotally, like when people would come by and pick them up and we'd chit chat, a lot of people told me that they had tried turkeys and have never been able to grow them out to maturity. Most people said that it was the feeding issue. They hadn't realized that they can't just have normal chicken food. Some people had issues with, goodness knows, I don't know. But we had really great luck. And even though we've never raised them before, I gave everyone their little instructions and I gave most people a little bag of grit. I think the first couple, I gave them all a little bag of grit. Like, make sure you feed them grit. And hopefully it all worked out well for them because it worked out good for us. The way that I did my grit rations for them, and because I am the one that takes care of the baby poultry when they're in the brooders, and then once they go out on pasture, my husband is in charge of it. That's kind of how we divvy up our farm chores. Since we do have regular increments of batches, that's just a lot easier for us, and time-wise, and it just makes more sense. So the way that I did it, I did not give them free choice grit. Hypothetically, that might be the best way to do it because they should have their little instincts of when they need it and how much they need it. But they got so big so fast, and even though we did build a new brooder, I guess I didn't mention that my husband built a whole new big heavy duty brooder that we're really stoked about. So even though they had more room than usual, they still just get so frantic and run around and spill everything. So until we have a better setup for like the food and grit, like something more stationary, I don't know, attached to the wall or something, until then, I did not trust them to not like step on it and scratch it out and just waste all of it. So I just sprinkled, I can't give you a like measurement because I also don't know how big our feeders are, but you know, like a handful or so kind of sprinkled on top of their food. And again, we had 40, so it really wasn't that much. It just put, you know, a little bit mixed in with their food every like 2 or 3 days. And apparently that worked well because they're all doing fine and growing really great. That's how we did that. I do not remember how long I kept them on the heat lamp, honestly. I couldn't tell you. I don't even have a ballpark, but I know it was longer than usual. But also, it was the middle of summer and it was scorching hot. So we had them on the heat lamp at night, I guess I would say longer than we do for the chickens. But there were some days that I ended up having to turn off the heat lamp because the heat index already just in the air was like 106. And I'm like, we don't need extra heat lamps right now. So whatever I did worked. Wish I had better tips for you with that. I guess my only tip is getting them in July, right? That's when we got them. July, August, September. Yeah, I think it was July. Getting them in July worked well with the heat in the air. It worked. I think that was really conducive to how warm they need it in general. So that was really helpful. What else about the turkeys? I think that's really most of the update. I still like them better than chickens. They are the only thing is they do bite more than chickens. They do bite more than chickens, but I don't think it's a mean bite. I think it's just a curious bite and it hurts more because they're bigger and they are strong. Like when they get out of the chicken tractor, which hasn't happened a lot, but sometimes it does. They're really easy to catch. They don't really run away from us. They just like stand there. But when they try, if they want to get away from us, when they flap their wings, you have to like really put some effort on their wings to not break out of your hands. Like they are strong. It's surprising. But we love them. Oh, this is gonna sound really weird, but they're more cuddly than chickens. Like if you pet them on their head, they just like shut their little eyes and just like kind of snuggle into you. It's so weird. And I don't like birds like that. Like all birds kind of gross me out, honestly. Like I don't know. Birds are just kind of gross to me in general, but it is very cute. And it was really cute when they would do it as little baby chicks. And now it's just funny. I'll watch my husband do it to them, and it's really sweet and funny. But yeah, we like them a lot. They're still out in the tractors right now, the chicken tractors that we use with our meat birds. They are not as tall as I expected yet, which is totally fine. I don't know. I've only really seen full-grown turkeys, so I didn't know really what to expect growing them out. So they're still short enough that it's fine, but they're just like girthy enough that once we do the next batch of chicken processing, I think Nate's gonna split them up into two tractors, just kind of what a 20 and 20 about. And then once they get too tall for the chicken tractors, that's when we will try and do the electro netting. That's kind of always been the plan. We've heard that that works because they are white broad-breasted, which is like a more, I don't know what you would, not convention. I guess you would say conventional, I don't know, like the meat bird of the turkeys. So they don't really fly, because that would be an issue. So we've heard you can just put them in electro netting when they get big, and that's what we're gonna try. But we still are having some predator issues. The past 2 years, we've had awful predator issues. I guess the predators just finally know that we have a whole smorgasbord of animals to choose from over here. So we're hoping that the size will be more of a deterrent. So we're not going to put them out till they get nice and big, more toward the end. I'm still a little bit nervous about it, but also we don't really have another choice. So it'll be a learning experience. We know the risks and we'll just tackle it as it comes, just like we do with everything. We have had a little bit of predator issues. We still have that dang owl. You'll have to listen to a couple episodes back when we talk about our owl issue. That's still happening, unfortunately. The owl still occasionally gets a chick or two, and I think it's gotten a couple turkeys too. Even though we do our best to prevent it, we have like an extra barrier directly around the chicken tractors. But whenever we let our guard down, he just freaking knows. Nate did recently put up a fake owl statue, like one that moves its head around in the wind.
just to give it a try, you know, why not? They're not that expensive, and at this point, anything to scare it away, we are open to. And he moves it around, and I think it's been working. I don't think we've had an issue with it yet. I think it's only been up a week, but he moves it around every day. It's funny and tacky, but whatever works. I hope it keeps working, because that owl is a pain in the butt.